Have your Bibles, if you would open them, please, to 1 Kings, chapter 22. We're going to continue today our look at Micaiah and his prophecies against Ahab. We did part of that last week. We'll begin reading today in 1 Kings 22 and beginning in verse 15. Down through verse 40. 1 Kings 22, beginning in verse 15. Hear now the word of the Lord. When he arrived, the king asked him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? Attack and be victorious, he answered, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. The king said to him, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? And Micaiah answered, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad? Micaiah continued, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the host of heaven standing around him on his right and on his left. The Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? One suggested this, another that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. By what means, the Lord asked. I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets, he said. You will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. So now the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster for you. Then Zedekiah, son of Chenaniah, went up and slapped Micaiah in the face. Which way did the spirit from the Lord go when he went from me to speak to you, he asked. Micaiah replied, you will find out on the day you go to hide in an inner room. King of Israel then ordered, take Micaiah and send him back to Ammon, the ruler of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, this is what the king says. Put this fellow in prison and give him nothing but bread and water until I return safely. Micaiah declared, if you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me. Then he added, mark my words, all you people. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will enter the battle in disguise, but you wear your royal robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Aram had ordered his 32 chariot commanders, do not fight with anyone, small or great, except the king of Israel. When the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, surely this is the king of Israel. So they turned to attack him. But when Jehoshaphat cried out, the chariot commander saw that he was not the king of Israel and stopped pursuing him. But someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the sections of his armor. The king told his chariot driver, wheel around and get me out of the fighting. I've been wounded. All day long the battle raged and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. The blood from his wound ran onto the floor of the chariot. That evening he died. As the sun was setting, a cry spread through the army, every man to his house, to his town, everyone to his land. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried him there. They washed the chariot at a pool in Samaria where the prostitutes bathed, and the dogs licked up his blood, as the word of the Lord had declared. As for the other events of Ahab's reign, including all he did, palace he built and inlaid with ivory, the cities he fortified, are they not written in the books of the annals of the kings of Israel? Ahab rested with his fathers, and Ahaziah, his son, succeeded him as king. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the treasure that it is. Lord, we pray today that you would take this word. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, use it as the sharp sword that it is to penetrate the very core of our being. Penetrate our hearts and minds with your truth. Lord, our prayer today is that we would hear your voice, and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. B.B. Warfield wrote that the Almighty Maker of all that is represented as the irresistible ruler of all that he has made. Jehovah sets as king forever. God indeed created everything that exists. He is therefore actually the owner and ruler of all things. And everything in this world, as we confessed earlier, from the greatest to the least, fulfills his divine decrees, his divine purposes. Even the actions of evil men, he molds and uses to accomplish what he has decreed. He is the sovereign Lord over all things. Last week we saw that King Ahab had decided in his heart to go up to Ramoth-Gilead to make war against Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram. And Ahab had tried to persuade Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, the southern kingdom, to go to war with him. And Jehoshaphat, not being a worshiper of Baal, not entertaining the false prophets, had insisted on hearing from a prophet of the Lord. Is this the right thing that we should do? Well, Micaiah was the one who was brought forth. And the ones who went to summon Micaiah said, look, there's 400 prophets of the king who have already said, yes, this is what you should do, and yes, you will be victorious. Just go along. And we ended last week with those words of Micaiah, the words that all the people of God should take heed to. Micaiah says, I can tell him nothing other than what the Lord tells me. So today we find Micaiah's word from the Lord. We find Micaiah's word to Ahab in response to the question. But unfortunately, we see here in Ahab today a stunning example of the arrogance, the stupidity of people who hear the most dire announcements of judgment coming and yet continue on in their own way. They fail to heed the word of the Lord, even when that word contains for them dire announcements of judgment and destruction. Now, unfortunately, we cannot, from the written word, determine the tone of voice. We try to give inflection when we read the scripture. We can't really determine the tone of voice, but I can assure you that Micaiah's voice had to be dripping with sarcasm when he gave his first response to Ahab. Sure, go up there. You'll be victorious. Just like all your bought and paid for prophets said. Go on up there. Of course, Ahab presses him and says, how many times have I told you? Just tell me the truth. Just give me God's truth. Ahab is one of those people who is always asking for advice and never following it. But Micaiah makes a great distinction here between the false prophets and between what he has to say. Excuse me. Because Micaiah says, I saw the Lord seated on his throne. You remember last week we saw Ahab, we saw Jehoshaphat, and they had taken the royal thrones out to the threshing floor by the gate of Samaria. The threshing floor, symbolic of judgment. And there they sat on their thrones surrounded by the 400 prophets. And look at the contrast. We see the Lord seated upon his throne, surrounded by the heavenly host. So here's the word from the false prophets. Here's the word from the Lord, surrounded by the heavenly host. The Lord is King of the universe. He raises up, he exalts, he puts people in power, and he casts them down. He raises up, he casts down, because he is the King. He is sovereign. And we saw Ahab and Jehoshaphat in that situation last week pose the question to the prophets assembled around their throne, shall we go up to Ramoth Gilead or not? Look at the question before that God poses to those around his throne. Who will entice Ahab to go up to Ramoth Gilead, to his destruction, to his death? Ahab is bent on doing this, but it's for his own destruction. And he pretends to seek the Lord's will. All the while, the Lord has already asked who's going to entice him to go to that place, to meet his death. And there's been a lot of ink spilled over the identity of this spirit who comes forth. Many say that it cannot be Satan because it talks about the heavenly host. But they're left with a problem of a holy angel being a lying spirit. I happen to agree with Calvin and most of the other reformers who said this is none other than Satan. John Mayer said this is none other than Satan who appears sometimes at the court to execute the king's will. Calvin says God wills that the false king, Ahab, be deceived. And the devil offers his services to this end. He is sent with a definite command to be a lying spirit in the mouth of the false prophets. Calvin continues. He said, Satan presents himself before God to receive his commands. He does so indeed with a different way and a different end in view, but he still cannot undertake anything unless God so wills. So, Micaiah says to Ahab, look, you have led Israel to worship the Baals. You've led the people of God away from God. God is now leading you by these same false prophets. These prophets that you've assembled to tell lies to the people of Israel, to lead them to worship idols, those same prophets will be your undoing. Those same false prophets will lead you into destruction. Those who reject God's truth believe the lie. And Ahab was deceived by the father of lies. But when people reject God's truth, what is left? What is left for them other than to believe the lie? And Ahab's destruction was tragic. It was a tragic example, as I said earlier, of the stupidity of people who hear pronouncements of judgment upon themselves and continue on in the way that they're going. They refuse to turn. You know, God had handed Ben-Hadad into Ahab's hand, you remember several weeks ago. Ben-Hadad, who should have been killed by now. But in disobedience to God, Ahab let him live and let him go. And this one will be the very instrument that God uses to bring about Ahab's death. This long-standing animosity between the two and Ahab's desire to seize territory from Ben-Hadad, that will be the thing that God uses to bring Ahab down. But notice also in this, Micaiah's suffering for the truth. Now, Micaiah did not speak evil of the king. He gave him an answer to a question that he asked. What is evil in warning someone about what's to come? What is evil about warning someone that the course that they're pursuing is wrong? Ahab thinks like me and the people in our world think. That if we warn someone of a danger, if we warn someone against a certain course of life that they're pursuing or actions that they're taking or beliefs that they have that are going to end in disaster, that somehow that's wrong. Somehow that's evil. The greatest service that we can render to anyone is to warn them when the path or the course that they're following ends in destruction. Secondly, we see that Micaiah is publicly insulted and attacked for telling the truth. Zedekiah, the head of the false prophets, insults him, slaps him, attacks him. This is so often the response of those who are opposed to the truth. When they hear the truth, they're enraged many times. They seek to heap insults upon those who pronounce the truth. Verbal attacks, physical attacks even. And it seems to be the place in which we live, that seems to be growing more and more to be the case, that when God's truth is proclaimed, it arouses these passions of anger among people. They don't want to hear the truth. But the Christian should not be dissuaded by this. The Christian should not back away from the truth because of insults or ridicule, even harassment, punishment, even imprisonment or death should not sway the Christian. Micaiah never changed his mind. He apparently died in prison because Ahab never came back from the battle. You keep him there on bread and water till I return. If you return, the Lord has not spoken through me. We never hear of Micaiah again. I assume that's his end. But there's another thing here. Probably the biggest disappointment for those who stand for the truth, for those who unwaveringly declare God's truth, is the lack of support by other Christians. Last week, we saw Jehoshaphat rebuke Ahab when he was criticizing Micaiah. He said, "You should not say that about him." But today, we see Micaiah insulted, attacked, and thrown in prison, and Jehoshaphat does not open his mouth. Greatest disappointment. Christians who end up being persecuted for the truth is the silence of other Christians who will not speak up, who will not come to their aid. And it is this suppression of truth that people like Ahab and Zedekiah strive for. This is their goal. The truth runs counter to what they want to do. The truth runs counter to the plans that they've already made. The truth runs counter to their lifestyle. And they don't want to hear it. But probably the greatest passage on that in all scriptures in Romans 1. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth. That's what God thinks of. He calls it wickedness and godlessness. The greatest enemy we find in the Old Testament, the greatest enemy of God's prophets were false prophets. And so it is today. The greatest enemy of those who would speak God's truth are the false prophets who suppress the truth in ungodliness. But irrespective of the lies, false promises, irrespective of the twisting of God's word, irrespective of those who even deny God's word, those who seem to prosper in this life, who seem to lord it over God's people, like Zedekiah here facing Micaiah. Irrespective of all that, God orders all things according to the counsel of His will, even the actions of ungodly men. God is the sovereign Lord of the universe. Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from His will. And no one, just by their cunning, their lies, their deceptions, can thwart God's will. In fact, unbeknownst to them, they are being used by God to fulfill His purposes. Ahab went up to Ramoth Gilead, and it says that one of the Syrians drew his bow at random, let an arrow fly. He had no particular target in mind. He just said, I'm going to shoot one over that way. But God directed the flight of that arrow to its exact predetermined destination, right between the joints of Ahab's armor, smallest place where he was vulnerable. They went right through there and fatally wounded him. God directs and upholds all things. All things. All these things are according to His counsel. You see, Ahab thought he could thwart the will of God. He thought he could evade God's judgment. Jehoshaphat, I've got a great idea. You put on your king outfit. I'm going to dress like a regular soldier. You see, he was secretly afraid. He's going against God's will, but in his heart, there's fear. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I won't look like the king. You know, they won't be trying to kill me. Now, Jehoshaphat, who came to his aid and formed an alliance with him to help him, he doesn't really care too much about him. He's exposing him to danger. But I'll disguise myself. You cannot disguise yourself from God's judgment. How many are the people in our world today who think they will hide themselves or their actions, or the thoughts, the intent of their heart from God, with some clever disguise, with some excuse, with title Christian, as we heard in Sunday school from the missionaries. I'm a Christian. I don't believe in God or any of that. How many people today fill the churches of this land because it's a respectable and right thing to do? It'll be over pretty soon. I'll have fulfilled my obligation today. I'm covered with my disguise. None of that will work for God. God knows the thoughts, the intents of your heart. He's the one who sent the lying spirit to the prophets to send Ahab to Ramoth Gilead, irrespective of what kind of clothes he had. He had an appointment there with God. We also see here that sometimes God allows his people into very dangerous situations. Sometimes he permits his people to be exposed to great distress and danger because they have been unwise in their associations. Jehoshaphat had no business being allied with Ahab. We talked about that last week. Here we have a worshiper of the one true God and a worshiper of Baal. Here we have people who in Judah have rid the place of idols, who have turned their worship to the one true God. And here we have people worshiping him. What do they have in common? There's nothing. He had no business being there. And God exposes him to danger. He thinks his life is going to be snuffed out. The writer of Chronicles tells us that when he cried out, he actually cried out to God. God heard him and preserved him. God let him be in that situation. In his preservation of him, he made known to him that he had not abandoned him. We can be in places we don't need to be and in situations we don't need to be. When we associate those who are opposed to God, we're doing things that we know are contrary to God's will, and we join in with them. That's a dangerous place for Christians to be. But Ahab lived long enough to see the fulfillment of Micaiah's prophecy. He knew he was dying, and he saw his army scattered on the mountains of Gilead, just as Micaiah promised, just as the word of the Lord had said. They took his chariot, took him back to Samaria and buried him, and they washed his chariot outside the walls of the city. The dogs licked up his blood exactly as Elijah prophesied. The writer of Kings makes an interesting note. He was buried, he rested with his father. He talks about the palace he built, inlaid with ivory. What a great place it was. What an opulent place. But what good does it do a man to leave behind a wonderful, beautiful house if his spiritual house is not in order? You know, 1 John 2:17 says that the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. All the things of this world are temporary. They're passing away. I'm sure someone enjoyed Ahab's house. He didn't. His life was over. Exactly as God had said. You know, Ahab presents us a vivid picture, a warning to all people to go their own way without respect to God and his word. People who are rushing all around us, headlong into judgment. And many of them have heard. Some of you have witnessed to them. Some of them may have sat in this place right here and heard God's word and heard of their sin and their need of a Savior. They continue on, ignoring the warning of the judgment that comes. They hear, but they ignore. Some are seduced by false prophets. Some are seduced by those with smooth words who say, "Don't worry, it's going to be okay in the end. God loves everyone. God would not send anyone to a place like hell." They're seduced by the false prophets. They believe the lie. they think by some contrivance to disguise themselves. They think their sin will be okay because it's compared with someone else's sin. And it's not nearly as bad as that person. They hide themselves under a false sense of security that, well, if you look at this big world, I'm much better than most all the people. They put that false disguise on and think God will not notice. Like Ahab, many of them pretend to seek advice. And all they intend to do is follow their own evil desires and will. You know, Micaiah told Ahab, he told him about the judgment that was coming upon him. He told him, if you go to Ramoth Gilead, that will be the end of your life. Destruction awaits you in that place. In the same way, we witness to people and we proclaim God's truth. We proclaim that there is a judgment coming, that you will stand before the judge of all the earth, that it is given unto man once to die and then to face the judgment. But they prefer to flatter themselves. They seek counsel other places because they don't like the counsel they heard from God's word. They listen to false prophets who say to them what their itching ears desire to hear. And those who speak God's truth often face ridicule or insult. Perhaps one day attacked. We should not be deterred by that. We must proclaim to these that we know, to these with whom God brings us in contact. Who knows where God will lead you today or tomorrow or next week? And to whom you may come in contact, who need to hear the gospel. We must tell them the truth in the clearest terms possible. Otherwise, we're false prophets. We've not told them God's truth. We have not told them the danger that they face. We have allowed them to continue in their way. It is not love and it is not compassion to fail to warn others of the danger. It is not love to ignore those we love, those we know, those with whom we associate. It's not love to fail to tell them God's plain truth. God is a sovereign Lord. We need not fear. Micaiah probably ended his prophetic career in his life with that last proclamation. He did exactly what he said, what we looked at last week. I can tell him nothing other than what the Lord tells me. You have it right here. This is what the Lord tells you. This is his truth. And this is what we should proclaim to all those with whom we have opportunity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for truth that it lays before us. Thank you that it lays bare sometimes our own motivations, feelings, and desires, our own actions. Lord, help us, we pray. Give us your great strength. Lord, strengthen us that we may be true prophets, true bearers of your great truth, that against all that the world throws, up against your church and your people, or did all that seeks to dissuade people from the truth, we would be faithful to put your truth up against that. For your truth endures, and it will indeed accomplish that for which you sent it for. Lord, we need not worry about the results, about the treatment we receive. For you are the sovereign Lord of the universe. These things are all in your hands. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to be faithful to that which you've called us to do for your own glory and honor, for the advancement of your kingdom, your church. We pray these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.